Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Good morning. Welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church. This is the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast and devotion. Today is September 25th, year of our Lord, 2012. Today's devotion is going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to be talking a little bit about the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. this is Paul, Apostle Paul, talking to all the Christians that's already saved, obviously. I'm going to use for a text coming out of John 16, verse 33, says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of a good cheer. I have overcome the world." Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life is Jesus, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Galatians 5:16 says, "This then I say," this is Paul talking, "walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the evil desires of the flesh, if you stay in the Spirit." If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're going to live in the Spirit. We need to act like it, don't we? Most of all, we want to be a good example for the Lord. Romans 6:18 said, "Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God. Ye have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. That's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? verse 3, "For what the law could not do in that he was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin," that's why he went to the cross, wasn't it? "For our sin, condemned sin unto the flesh. Whose are the fathers and of whom is concerned the flesh, Christ came, who is over all and blessed forever." Acts 1:11 says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up, gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven." 2 Corinthians 5 said, "For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin," certainly, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And of course, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned," everybody has sinned, hasn't he? "And come short of the glory of God." Come way short of the glory of God, hasn't we? Not at all deserving of the glory of God. also in a few verses down, 5:21, that as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For we walk by faith, not by sight, didn't we? In 2 Corinthians, also in Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. This is certainly Paul talking here. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That we walk worthy. We certainly don't want God to say, what in the world have I done here? I thought I saved him. Look how he's still acting. We certainly want to act like we say we are, ain't we? We are new people now that we're saved, aren't we? Not in our old lifestyle anymore. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and continue to live in the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Good understanding giveth favor in Proverbs 3:13-15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. John 3:6, that which is born from the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh is flesh. They hadn't been saved yet, have they? That's the unsaved, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We're born again in the Spirit, aren't we? Galatians 5:2, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Oh boy, that temperance, that self-control, against there is no law. That temperance is where a lot of us need a lot of help there, isn't it? We get tested for that every day of our lives, don't we? When we go to get some gas, you're out there waiting in line, waiting patiently for your turn to get to the gas pump. And come your time, you think somebody whoops up there in front of you. temperance there. Remember that word, temperance, self-control. Verse 6, 4, to be carnally minded, worldly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. Amen. James 4:4. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy of God? You can't have it both ways, can't we? Can't be a fence straddler, can't we? It's one or the other. Can't have both. God won't allow us to have both. He ain't going to put up with that. So then, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, right here in black and white. Like I said in the verse before, it's got to be one or the other. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, now that we're saved, are we? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's not a child of God, is he? verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye all are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? For he, John 3:34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, verse 11, that he raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your immortal bodies, restore to life your immortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Whom God had raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. 1 Corinthians 6:14, God has forth raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day, every day. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But, if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Yes, indeed. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So, I'm going to look over in Colossians 3:3. I'm going to read a little bit about the deeds here that they was talking about. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds, do kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what deeds are we talking about that we need to kill? Mortify therefore your members, your evil desires, your evil and ugly desires, which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, these are kind of the sensual desires that we have, a sexual desire, the immoral lifestyle here, sensual appetite, the unholy desires, that's the concupiscence, and of course, covetousness is greedy, and it's being greedy. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. Here's a little reminder of where we used to be, isn't it? But verse 8 says, But now ye also put off all these. And that ain't all, so to speak, to what he's saying here. There's a few more. These as well. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. That's a foul mouth. filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9 says, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man is a former lifestyle. That's where we used to be. Put off the old man. Verse 10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That'd be our spiritual self, wouldn't it? we're at 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yes, indeed. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, our Father. Galatians 5:18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 16 says, the spirit itself bears witness to our spirit, but we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so that we suffer with him, that we be also glorified together. So if we're going to suffer with him, we're going to hang in there through the bad times, so to speak. We're going to be there for the good times as well, aren't we? Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard of the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't make God sad, basically what that says. Whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, then an heir of God through Christ. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory in which he shall revealed in us, certainly in the future. If we look in 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul calls our problems, our situations, our troubles and trials and stresses light afflictions. Paul calls them light afflictions, which is temporary, just for a moment, he's saying. But it worketh for us. It gets us ready for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It really gives us something to look forward to. Since God's doing the work in us, we need to hang in there with it, so to speak, is what he's saying here, because he's doing the work in us that the reward's going more than way outweigh the trial that we're going through. And it just need to certainly be strong, keep an eye on the Lord. Verse 19, for the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. The creature here means the creation from day one here. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjecting the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth means like a woman in childbirth, travaileth in pain together until now. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, pardon me, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And all the way back in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat the bread. This is the Lord talking to Abram here, till thou return to the ground to Adam, I'm sorry, to return to the ground out of it wast thou taken, dust thou art, and to dust shall thou return. From dust is the way you come in, and dust is the way you're going out. Jeremiah 12:11, they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth to heart. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. 23. Ephesians 1:14, which is this earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possessions. God's purposed possessions would be us, be you and I, wouldn't it? Until the praise of His glory. He purchased us so that we could praise and glorify Him. Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, these things is the signs before the end times, what he's talking about here. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up, Scripture says, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Seeing is believing, that's what they're talking about here. You see and you know it then it's not believing you know it then. Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? This is how we get patience, isn't it? Then we pray to the Lord, oh, give me patience, Lord, help me have patience. I need patience every day. And the Lord says, okay, here's how you get it. Just wait for it. It'll come your way. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And when he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. God's going to bat for us. He's helping us out with our prayers, isn't he? Hebrews 11:1, we're going to talk a little bit about faith here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But we walk by faith, not by sight. James 4, chapter 2 and 3. You have not because you ask not. Simple as that. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong, selfish reason most of the time, isn't it? That you may consume it. You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust, your own evil desires. Lord, if you're just giving them lottery numbers, just let me have them lottery numbers. I'm trying to get $30 million here. If you let me win that lottery, I'll give you $100. We ask for the wrong reasons. We ask amiss, don't we? 1 Chronicles 28:9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know that the Lord of thy father, know thou the Lord of thy father, serve him with perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, if thou seek him. He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, Scripture says. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The called is the saved folks, and it's the Christian, it's God's Christians. For whom he did foreknow, did he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. purpose, nothing that we done, for his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, having predestinated us to the adoption of children, Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Moreover, whom he did predestinate them, he also called. Who he called, them he justified. Who he justified, them he glorified. What shall we then say then to these? God be for us. Who can be against us? 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood are we, a holy nation, peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of him who has called us out of darkness, didn't he? Into his marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, that you pulled us out of our darkness. Once we were blind, now we can see. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:6. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Numbers 14:9 says, rebel not against the Lord. Don't turn not against the Lord. Don't turn against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God's elect is the chosen people. That's the church, isn't it? That's the Christian. That's us. That's you and I. Romans 14:9-4, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the living and the dead. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up for our justification. Pardon me, just not done here. 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. Behold, Isaiah 59. Listen to this. Behold, the Lord will help me. Thank you, Lord. Who is he that condemned me? We just read that the Lord is with us, so we're doing pretty good, and we're the saved folks anyway. Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto him, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, which is that's where Christ is, and which seateth at the right hand of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand. 35 and 36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are as delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither angels, this kind of goes with verse 35, doesn't it? Who separate us from the love of Christ? I am persuaded neither angels, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Ephesians 1:21. For all, above all principalities and power and might, dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That means the devil and his crowd, not the devil and his demons. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I reckon what that would be. Prayer. Staying in the book here. Bible reading. The truth. Our salvation. Faith. Hope. Some of the things included in the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. So finally, we see in this chapter here that the Spirit of God delivers us from our old man, the Scripture says, our old lifestyle, into our new lifestyle, new life with Jesus here. His purpose and mission that we see in this chapter, pretty much in the entire book of Romans, he's convinced that all men are lost without Christ, and he's grateful through the righteousness of God that he's able to go out and preach the good news of Christ Jesus. Paul states it over in the front of this book in chapter 1 that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, but he's bound and determined to make Jesus Christ known to everybody, to all people, as Scripture says. Chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The just shall live by faith. We'll read one more time our text that we use here, John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.